You have your Bibles this morning. Let me invite you to find the second gospel, second book of our New Testament, Mark chapter 1. This morning, on this first Sunday of the month and first Sunday of the new year, we are beginning a new book study on Sunday mornings in the Gospel According to Mark. And in just a minute, I want to share with you a message entitled The Baptizer and Baptism. The Baptizer and Baptism. Let me tell you just a couple of things about the Gospel of Mark as we begin this morning. First of all, even though it is the second of the four Gospels in our New Testament, more than likely, it is the first gospel, being the oldest gospel, having been written before Matthew and before Luke and before John. You'll also notice that it is the shortest gospel, 16 chapters, compared to other gospels in the 20-plus chapter range. Also, the author, obviously, is Mark, or in other places in the New Testament, known as John Mark. If you'll remember in the book of Acts, it was John Mark and the Apostle Paul who had such a sharp disagreement that Paul said, I can't go with him anymore. And they parted company for a while, as it related to missionary journeys. Later, they reconciled and their friendship was made anew. But we know a little bit or see a little bit about John Mark there in the book of Acts. But even though the Gospel of Mark was written by Mark, it was from Peter's experience. May have even been dictated to Mark from Simon Peter. And so everything that we're going to read and see and hear and understand in this study of Mark's gospel is through the eyes of the Apostle Peter. And the last statement that I want to make to you this morning, as it relates to just some introductory material regarding Mark's gospel, is that unlike Matthew's gospel, which was written to the nation of Israel, written to Jews, the Gospel of Mark is written to Gentiles. And that's good news. Because unless there's something about you I don't know, we're all Gentiles this morning. And so Mark's gospel is for us. And so as we think about this morning, the baptizer and baptism, I want you to follow along with me as I read Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And if you have found that in your copy of God's Word, I invite you to stand this morning in honor of the Word of the Lord and follow along as I read. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word for us this morning in this place. And Lord, speak loudly and clearly, we ask and pray. And Lord, let us have eyes to see in your word and ears to hear from your word and a heart that is receptive to your word as we're gathered here in this place. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So these first several verses of John's gospel is about, Mark's gospel is about the baptizer, John the Baptist. And if I have counted correctly, I believe the word baptize or baptism is about six occurrences or so in these first 11 verses. So again, today we're talking about the baptizer and baptism. So look in these first couple of verses, the baptizer named John. It's interesting that Mark's gospel starts the way that it does there in verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No birth, no childhood. Why not? Good question. And I don't have the answer for you this morning, other than just simply to say that Mark chose not to include, Peter chose not to include for Mark details, facts, stories about the birth of Christ, the childhood of Christ, not because he saw them as insignificant, but there were just simply other truths that he wanted to focus on to give his attention to. Obviously, Matthew's gospel, different according to Matthew's perspective. Luke's gospel is different according to Dr. Luke's perspective. But we simply begin this morning the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then we jump into John the Baptist and who he was as a messenger. He was a fulfillment of prophecy. Verse 2 says, "As it is written in the prophets." And then immediately you have the inclusion there in verse 2 of two Old Testament passages of Scripture, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. "Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptist was the forerunner. He was the announcer. He was the messenger heralding the coming of the promised Messiah. And just to be quite honest, he was a little bit of a weird fellow. Now, because you know your preacher, you think, well, that's not that weird because we have a weird preacher. He was a weird preacher. But John the Baptist, verse 6, was clothed with camel's hair. That may not be that weird for that day and time, but regardless of day and time and regardless of place, the end of verse 6 is rather strange. He ate locusts and wild honey. Now in Texas, for us, that translates as grasshoppers. And I don't know when the last time you had honey on your grasshoppers, but that's a little bit odd. It's a little bit weird. John was a bird of a different feather, but nonetheless, he was the instrument of the Lord. He was ordained to do this particular task and have this particular role as the forerunner for the promised Messiah, and he did it perfectly. Now, so many of the time we hear about John, we think, well, he was gruff and all he did was preach and he wasn't compassionate in any way. But keep in mind, he also had an element of humility to him, especially seeing himself in light of who Jesus was. Look at there, verse 7. There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose. So John the Baptist knew his place. He was bold, yes. He was mighty, yes. But he was also a man of humility. He's also the one speaking in John chapter 3, verse 30, who says, he must increase, but I must decrease. So this messenger, though a little strange, also bold, and a man of humility. Well, what was his message? His message that he shared with here, and his message for us, and I would even say it is a great message for 2019, and it's wrapped up in one word, repentance. That's John the Baptist's message. It says there in verse 4, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of, read it with me, repentance. What does that mean? Well, it means to change direction. It means literally a change of mind that leads to a change of behavior, which can be visualized in changing direction. I'm walking one way, I have a change of mind that says I'm going to walk another way. That literally is what repentance is. It's what it means. It's what John was preaching, and how it may be necessary for us to do this morning. Look back at 2018. And no, I haven't been reading your mail or your email or your text messages. But in your relationship with Christ, is there some repentance that is in order? Whether it be prayer, changing what you haven't been doing to changing what you should be doing. Bible reading, new year, great opportunity for you to start reading God's Word. Brother Richard, I've tried that. Try it again. Certainly on the first Sunday of the new year, new commitments, new participation in the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Keep it up. What about repentance with your finances? Some money that you spent in 2018 that you should not be spending in 2019. What about your relationships? Your relationship with your spouse? Your relationship with your children? Maybe personally. Personal habits. Personal hang-ups. Things that you should have been doing in 2018, but you weren't doing. But now 2019, you're repenting, you're turning, you're changing direction, you're starting anew and afresh. Or maybe things that you were doing that for 2019 need to stop. John the Baptist's message was repentance. And by the way, did you also know, brothers and sisters, that was Jesus' message? The very first sermon that Jesus ever preached, the very first words that we even hear some of the very first words that we hear out of Jesus' mouth are recorded in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Matthew says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say," read it with me, "repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So that message of repentance wasn't just John the Baptist's message. It was the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said a moment ago, for some of you, in your relationship with Christ, in your relationship with family, in your relationship with others, in your relationship with your finances, or whatever spectrum you want to include, repentance may be in order. But let me just say this, because certainly we have a number of guests with us this morning, if you have never repented from your sins and turned to Jesus for the very first time, that is the first repentance that is in order today. You see, we naturally are moving in the direction of self. What's good for me? What do I want to do? What will make me happier? What will please me? And Christ invites us to repent and to turn from self and to turn to Jesus and what Jesus wants and what will magnify Jesus and what will be best for Him and what consequently He wants for us. And if you've never called on the name of the Lord to save you, regardless of young or old, male or female, church member or not, today I would invite you to repent and trust Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life for the very first time. But then notice also about John the Baptizer, notice his methods. His methods were two: preaching and baptizing. Again, there in verse 4, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, we said just a moment ago, he was a preacher, and he did preaching, and he wasn't embarrassed or ashamed or afraid to preach to anyone God's word. He preached to the Pharisees. He preached to the Sadducees. He preached to Jews. He preached to Gentiles. He preached to men. He preached to women. He preached to young. He preached to the old. He was a preacher of God's word. And he was preaching a baptism of repentance for, or literally because of, the remission of sins. And we see that consequently there in verse 5, there were many who were responding to his preaching. Not because he was the most charismatic of guys. Again, he's walking around with camel hair and snacks of grasshoppers and honey. But it's because he was preaching what God wanted him to preach. He was anointed by God. He was God's messenger. And consequently, God was blessing his preaching. But then he was also baptizing. He was baptizing there in the Jordan River as people were confessing their sins. Now let's talk about John's baptism for just a moment. John tells us a little bit about his baptism there in verse 8. And we're going to compare it to Jesus' baptism for just a moment. It says in verse 8, "I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So first of all, notice that John's baptism is a physical baptism. It's a physical baptism. It's something that literally, there were individuals, there were men and women, there were young and old, who were literally in the water of the Jordan River. Okay? So it is a physical baptism, whereas Jesus' baptism, listen to me this morning, is a spiritual baptism. You could see John's baptism taking place. I doubt that you have ever seen Jesus' baptism taking place. Now, you may receive the results of Jesus' baptism. We need to see the fruit of Jesus' baptism. But because it's a spiritual baptism compared to a physical baptism, it's not that which we see, at least the act. John's baptism was with what? Which was water, just like that. It was with water. Jesus' baptism, not with water, but what does verse 8 say? With the Holy Spirit. The baptism with the Holy Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, John the Baptist's baptism looked forward. It looked forward to a coming Messiah. Jesus' baptism looks back to the life, the perfection, the righteousness of Jesus. So there are two different baptisms there. Jesus' baptism happens when you surrender your life to Christ through faith. When you are saved, brothers and sisters, that is when Jesus baptizes you. And if you've never experienced Jesus' baptism, you've never experienced that spiritual by the Holy Spirit baptism that identifies with Christ, that puts you in Christ and no longer in self, then again, today I invite you to be saved. I invite you to call on the name of the Lord to save you. And then listen very, very closely to this. Without the baptism of Jesus, you do not have a home in heaven. Did you hear that? If you haven't been baptized with the baptism of Jesus, if you haven't been baptized, that spiritual baptism, verse 8, that baptism by the Holy Spirit or with the Holy Spirit, that baptism that identifies you with Christ, then you do not have a home in heaven. You have not received forgiveness of sin. You do not have eternal security. But today you can. Today I invite you to call on the name of the Lord to save you. So there is a little bit about the baptizer named John. Let's finish this text by looking at verses 9 through 11 and talk about the baptism of Jesus. Verse 9 says, "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan." Now, we're baptized in water, oftentimes in a baptistry, after we've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, after we have been saved. But there was never a point in Jesus' life when he wasn't saved. So why was Jesus baptized? Great question. Let me give you a couple of options. He may have been baptized to identify with humanity. He may have been baptized to, to identify with the nation of Israel and consequently humanity, because remember, not only is he the Son of God, he's the Son of Man, and if I'm going to encourage all of those who follow after me to be baptized, well, it makes pretty good sense that I also should be baptized. Perhaps. Maybe it was he was simply affirming the ministry of John the Baptist. That's possible. He knew that John the Baptizer was God's man, was God's messenger, was the forerunner who was announcing the coming Messiah. And to lend credibility, put his stamp of approval. I mean, after all, who wouldn't want the stamp of approval of the Son of God? Jesus says, okay, I'll be baptized by John the Baptist and affirm his ministry. Maybe true. Or then again, he may have just been demonstrating the beginning of his earthly ministry. And that may be what God chose or how God chose to do that. To kick off the inaugurate the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because see there in verse 11, right after Jesus was baptized, then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So as we talk about the baptism of Jesus, let me take just a moment to talk about believers' baptism. And as we think about believers' baptism and what that means for us today, I want you to consider the moment. The moment. And I want you to hold your place there in Mark chapter 1. And I want you to turn to the book of Acts for just a moment, beginning in Acts chapter 8. Beginning in Acts chapter 8. In verse 34. We're jumping right in here to the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. Verse 34 of Acts chapter 8. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" And so if you read back in verses 32 and 33, Philip is preaching the book of Isaiah to the Ethiopian eunuch. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. And now as they went down the road, they came to some water and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. And he baptized him. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 18. This is the conversion of the Apostle Paul. It says, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. And then over in Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer, beginning in verse 31 of Acts chapter 16, so Paul and Silas, verse 31, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. And then Acts chapter 18, verse 8. This ruler named Crispus Verse 8 says, "Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." See, I want you to notice that the moment of baptism should be immediately following belief. There's belief first. It was true of the Ethiopian eunuch. It was true of the Apostle Paul. It was true of the Philippian jailer. It was true of Crispus. There was belief, and then there was baptism. The moment. But also, what was the meaning? The meaning of baptism for these individuals here in the book of Acts. The meaning was that they had been saved. See, you see that order there? They had been. You see what comes first? Belief first. Salvation first. And then baptism. That's the next step. And for some of you in the room this morning, maybe in your own personal walk with the Lord, maybe that order is not exactly like your order. Maybe your baptism came first and then your belief came later. And I would invite you to observe the biblical model there. That first is belief, and then is baptism. What does that mean? It's not a decision that somebody should be making for you. It's a decision that you should make for yourself. A personal decision, a spiritual decision, a significant decision that each individual should make on his or her own. And then finally, you can't read and teach and study on a text regarding baptism without talking about the mode. And if you go back to Mark chapter 1, when you talk about the mode of baptism, it's not inconsequential that Mark chapter 1, verse 10 says, "And immediately coming up from the water was Jesus." And you have that same type of language used again in that very first passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 8, talking about the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts chapter 8, verse 38, "So he commanded the chariot to stand still," Philip commanded the chariot to stand still, "and both Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him." And so it's important, it's significant, it's right to consider what is the mode, the biblical mode of baptism, and it's immersion. Just as Jesus was immersed. Just as these brothers and sisters were immersed here in the book of Acts. And so as we draw this to a close this morning and we think about the baptizer and baptism, I invite you this morning to consider on this first Sunday of 2019... what type of repentance needs to take place in your life? Is it repentance from sin and turning to Jesus for the very first time? In just a few minutes, Brother Gene's going to come back up and we're going to be standing and singing a very familiar song, "Only Trust Him." And if you're here today and you've never called on the name of the Lord to save you, if you've never received forgiveness of sins and want to do that today and be baptized with the Holy Spirit by Jesus, that can take place this morning. And that's a spiritual experience that means you're saved. Brother Ronnie and I will be here standing at the front. We'd love to welcome you today. We'd love to counsel with you, to walk through that process with you. But for others of you, you may be here today and you're looking back on 2018 and not to bring skeletons out of the closet or to drag that baggage with us. But the fact of the matter is that for a follower of Christ, for many of us, if not all of us, 2019 ought to be different than 2018. And if that's true of you, and I'm going to include myself in that, that's true of me. Today, I want to invite you to repent. I want to invite you to change direction. That begins by changing your mind. And even before that, a change of heart. And if that needs to take place simply there where you'll be standing, if that needs to take place here at the front on bended knee, if that needs to take place here talking with me, talking with Brother Ronnie, today we would invite you to come. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Again, in just a moment, after I finish praying, I'm going to invite you to stand. And if you know the song this morning, the words to the song that we'll be singing, I'll invite you to join with us. And I want you to know that today our invitation is for you. Our invitation is for you to respond publicly to how God has spoken to you this morning. I'll be here at the front. Brother Ronnie will be here at the front. And today, we would love to welcome you. To welcome you for baptism. To welcome you for church membership. To welcome you and pray. However the Lord is leading you this morning. Father in heaven, we come to you today and we thank you for, again, that fresh start, that clean slate, that new beginning that all of us need. Lord, I invite you to have your way in our heart and in our lives. Father, I pray that there will be those this morning that you are drawing to yourself, that you would give them faith to believe, courage and boldness to stand for Christ for the very first time. And Lord, today, for those of us in the room who need to repent for that which took place in 2018, I pray, Father, for resolve, boldness and courage to be obedient. Father, let us follow the footsteps of Jesus wherever they may lead and only trust in Him. We ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet as Brother Jim comes to lead us? You today need to respond to God's word. You do so on the very first verse.
Only trust Him all.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you so much for being so faithful and so attentive this morning and listening to God's word. And we want to continue to worship this morning through the giving of our tithes and offerings. Again, one of those ways that the Lord may be leading you to repent relates to your finances. And what a great opportunity at the beginning of this new year for some in the room. Maybe you're going to be a new regular financial giver. Maybe you're going to be even more than that. You're going to be a new regular tither. And if you have some questions about that, if you have some concerns about that, I just want to speak to you the word of God from the book of Malachi. Test the Lord. Test the Lord and see what blessing He may bring to your life because of your commitment to obedience. Now, that's not the promise of financial blessing. Please understand that, brothers and sisters. But it is a promise of the Lord's blessing upon obedience. And so let me encourage you as our family of faith, members of Emory Baptist Church, to be faithful and generous in the giving of your tithes and of your offerings. Brother John Williams, would you lead us today in our offertory prayer?
Let's pray. Holy Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to us and your care for us through 18. And Father, we just thank you for the care that we know that's coming down. We pray, Father, that with each day that you bless us with, that you help us to just to be completely surrendered to you with our hands open and handing it all back to you, for it all belongs to you, and just trusting you and being obedient and walking with you in faith. We love you, and we ask all these things in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
I do want to point out just a few announcements here. Now, you'll notice that our schedule starts back. Our regular Sunday and Wednesday evening schedules will resume this week, and so we hope to see you back this evening, and Wednesday night meal will start up again on Wednesday. This Thursday, January 10th, is the Senior Adult Ministry Game Day. That'll be in the Fellowship Hall with a potluck lunch, and so come and be a part of that. And, of course, this weekend is the youth One Voice Youth Retreat out at Camp Akiva. And so we hope that you will, students, if you have signed up, we hope that you'll come and be a part of that. If you haven't signed up, we have a little bit of room still. So come and visit with me, students in grades 6 through 12.
Let me remind you about something that's not in your bulletin this morning. Tomorrow, that first Monday of the new year, is our Monday at Good Samaritans, work day at Good Samaritans, a great ministry, local ministry, benevolence ministry here in our own community. If you're looking for a new ministry, that is a tremendous opportunity for you. Emory Baptist Church's work day is tomorrow from 1 to 4 at Good Samaritans, and if you want more information about that or just want to talk to someone a little bit more about that, Sharon Massengill, would you raise your hand, Sharon? Right there. She can help you find out and plug you in to a place of ministry and service at Good Samaritans. Men, let me invite you to join me on Wednesday morning at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall as we resume in this new year our Wednesday morning men's discipleship group. We are going to begin reading a book, a very timely book, called The Divided States of America. And oh, how we are a divided states of America. And I want to invite you to join me to read that together for breakfast, light breakfast, for coffee, juice, milk, things like that. We're typically done no later than 10 after 7, so you can be on your way to wherever Wednesday will take you. But I invite you to meet me in the Fellowship Hall on Wednesday at 6:30 a.m. As we think about and look back at 2018 for just a moment, there are some tremendous celebrations that are in order for Emory Baptist Church, and I want to share five of them with you this morning. And brothers and sisters, please don't take these for granted, because this is not happening at every church, okay? So in 2018, we had 55 new members and 21 believers baptized. So if you think about that, that's more than one per Sunday of 2018. And that's many of you in the room this morning as far as new members to Emory Baptist Church. And again, 21 believers baptized by believers' baptism after salvation and by immersion. Praise the Lord. Also in 2018, you gave almost, and these numbers aren't final, and so it may eventually be more than that, but you gave almost $715,000 in undesignated receipts. Now, keep in mind that our annual budget was only $550,000. So that is in excess of $160,000 more than our budget. That doesn't even include surplus or revenue over expenses. So God bless you for faithful, generous giving to Emory Baptist Church in 2018. And I think that is because of your trust in our church's leadership. And I don't take that for granted, because as I said, that's not happening in every church. Thirdly, 2018, let me give you just some missions statistics. We have a World Missions Fund that in 2000, this is on the back of your bulletin this morning, in 2018 had $34,438 given to it. 50% of that, $17,219, will be forwarded on to our international mission board, your international mission board, to take the gospel literally to the other side of the world in our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. 35% or $12,053 will stay here in North America, going to our North American Mission Board and keeping the gospel, sharing the gospel to the unreached here in the United States and in Canada. And then 15% will stay in the state of Texas, or $5,166, to our state convention and our Reach Texas offering. And by the way, And I've been doing this for today, believe it or not, marks the 4th January. The Lord called my family and I to Emory Baptist Church on January the 4th of 2015. And so for the 4th of January now, I'm inviting you to participate in our 2019 World Missions Fund. And I'm going to be very ambitious this year. In the years past, I've invited 25 families to commit to $25 a week for 52 weeks in giving to the World Mission Fund. This year, I think there are 30 families who could do that at Emory Baptist Church. And if you are one of those 30 families and you would like to do that, you're going to be hearing about this throughout the month of January, and then you won't hear about it again. And so I'm inviting you in this first month of the year, and you're looking at finances and what 2018 was and what 2019 will be, I invite you to consider being one of these 30 families to give $25 a week. That's essentially a meal out for probably two. If you're like my family, that's a little bit less than a meal out. But a meal out per week to give to missions. And if you want to be one of those families, text me. Say, I'm in. Send me an email. Call me and say, Brother Richard, you can count on me. I'll be one of those 30 families. But let me know. Tremendous, tremendous celebration. A fourth area of celebration. Chris Henderson. That's not a name that you'd heard previously, but it's January, and we're now telling you that name. Chris Henderson will be coming in view of a call as our next minister of music and senior adults on the weekend of January the 18th through the 20th. There are bio sheets for Chris in the foyer telling about his personal information, date, age, his education, his experience, some questions that our Minister of Music Search Committee asked him and the way that he answered and how we thought that would be important for you to know and for you to hear. And also the schedule for that weekend, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday evening, Sunday morning. So be sure to pick up one of those in the foyer this morning or tonight before you leave. And then finally, this is later this month, but it deserves to be mentioned even now. January the 18th marks 15 years of faithful service to Emory Baptist Church by Ronnie and Lacey Witt. And I'm telling that to you now because in the days to come, you'll be hearing more about something like a reception, something like a love offering or money tree or a way that you can bless Ronnie and Lacey and their family. But if you look back at the history of Emory Baptist Church and all the pastors, and there's all the staff members, all the minister of music, all the minister of youth, there's no one that has been here at Emory Baptist Church longer than Ronnie and Lacey. There's one that's been here the same, but no one's been here longer. And what a testament to their faithfulness to the Lord and to our church. And so the month of January, the month of February, I hope that our church, you personally and us collectively, will demonstrate our appreciation unto them. One more thing I need to share with you before I introduce someone to you this morning. This afternoon at 2 o'clock here in this room will be the funeral service of Ron Rimby. And so as you leave this morning, in just a moment, please be sure to make sure that your area is nice and tidy and presentable for many guests who will be here later this afternoon. So anything you brought into the auditorium or sanctuary, please be sure to take with you, bulletins, cups, Kleenexes, etc., just simply because there won't be a lot of time to clean up after our service and before that service. And again, that is a change. That originally service was not originally going to be here, but now is going to be here again, 2 o'clock today, the funeral service of Ron Rimby. Christy, come stand with me. And Lainey and Stephanie, if you would like to come. And Leah, if you would like to come. This is Christy Barnett. And a couple of summers ago, I had the privilege of baptizing Christy's daughter, Lainey, and her son, Landon. Landon's not here this morning, but Landon is a junior high student at Miller Grove, and Lainey is a freshman at Miller Grove High School. And Christy, their mom, has known Christ since a teenager. She has had a home in heaven, has received forgiveness of sins, called on the name of the Lord to save her. But today she's letting you come, coming to let you know that she is ready to be a member of Emory Baptist Church. And so I will be baptizing her in the coming Sundays, a demonstration of her relationship with Christ. And if you would be willing to welcome Christy this morning, please let it be known with your applause. Stephanie is her biological sister. Leah is her spiritual sister, a close friend, and they are standing with her this morning in support and affirmation of her. It's been great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I hope and pray that you have been blessed in your time here. I'm going to invite you to stand with me before you leave today. Again, don't forget to take your stuff with you, and be sure to come back and introduce yourself to Christy on your way out. Brother Gene, lead us in our benediction.
Victory in Jesus, my Savior.